organizations need to prepare to act on, you know, developing technologies as well as, you know, unforeseen disruptions.
Welcome back, friends. This is Future Proof, and I am your host, Bill Sheridan. So let me start off this week's show with a question. So your company likes to play around with some of the latest digital toys, right? Does that make your company a digital organization? And you don't have to answer that because I will. The answer is no, not even close. In the same way that just because you do social media doesn't necessarily make you a social organization. It goes way deeper than that, right? It's a cultural thing. It's about leadership. It's about this stuff being baked into your DNA. You can't just bolt it onto an outdated business model and write a policy statement and call it good. And my guest this week knows that better than most. She is Ann Phillips, and she's a researcher and author at Deloitte's Center for Integrated Research, where she dedicates her time to understanding the impact that emerging digital technologies have on an organization's leadership, talent, and culture. And Deloitte has a new study out in this very thing. Deloitte does, along with MIT Sloan Management Review. And I'm going to talk with Ann here in a few minutes and find out what that study says about the state of our workforce and our organizations when it comes to being future ready and digitally mature. Interesting stuff this week. Stick around. First, here's what caught my eye this week. A little cybersecurity action for you. It is election season, and as such, you might have heard about this one. They had one of these security conventions recently. You know the ones, right? They're designed to test the strength of the United States' election infrastructure to find out just how secure our voting systems are. And then the idea is to pass on any vulnerabilities that they find to individual states so that they can improve their systems. Well, it took an 11-year-old boy about 10 minutes to hack into a replica of the website that hosts Florida's election results. 10 minutes. And once he was in there, he was able to change names. He was able to change vote totals. And all of this less than 3 months from our midterm elections. Now, the National Association of Secretaries of State, which is responsible for counting votes, said it welcomed the findings from the convention, but it also said actual voting systems will have additional protections that will make them harder to break into. Let's hope so. Here's what the association said. It said it would be extremely difficult to replicate these systems since many states utilize unique networks and custom-built databases with new and updated security protocols. So 11-year-olds might not be able to do it. Word's still out on Russian hackers, I guess. We'll just have to wait and see. More on that in November. Here's my favorite part of the story, though. These preteen hackers added as many as 12 billion votes to some candidates' tallies and changed some of the candidates' names to things like Bob DeBuilder and Richard Nixon's head. 12 billion votes. You got to give the kids an A for creativity. Our security systems, not so much. Still apparently getting in and complete at this point. Election season, man, I tell you, this stuff just keeps getting weirder and weirder, doesn't it? It's some of the stuff you just can't make up. Anyway, thought that was interesting or frightening. Back to the real reason we're here. Ann Phillips, this week's guest, as I said, she's a researcher and author at Deloitte's Center for Integrated Research, which, along with MIT Sloan Management Review, has released a new report called Coming of Age Digitally: Learning, Leadership, and Legacy. And it's actually an annual report in which they try to gauge how digitally mature today's organizations are. So here's what the authors of the study had to say. They said, when we asked more than 3,300 respondents to describe what's different about working in a digital environment compared with a traditional one, three differences accounted for nearly 60% of all replies: the pace of change, a flexible distributed workplace, and culture. And they went on to say that, quote, none of these differences are technical in nature. They instead point to the way digitization is changing the very nature of work, which in turn can require new ways of leading. So just how should executives respond? Our study revealed three critical actions they can adopt to help employees excel. Those are providing direction, enabling innovation, and facilitating execution, end quote. So I wanted to find out just how our business is doing in adopting these critical actions. Anna and I talked about a whole bunch of stuff, where we stand now, what do digitally mature businesses do that others don't, and how the rest of us can get started down this path, which I think is more critical than ever. So this was a fun conversation and I think an important one. I learned a lot. So here's Ann Phillips. Ann, thanks for joining me today. Let's start by defining that term digital maturity is. This goes well beyond just being good at new technology, correct?
Yes. So a lot of people, I think, assume that digital maturity is about technology. But, you know, what we're seeing is that digital maturity is really about how companies are adapting themselves to better perform in a digital age. It's about how they're fundamentally changing what they do and how they do it.
Okay. And so give me an idea of what digital maturity might look like inside an organization. How do they operate maybe in ways that other organizations don't?
Well, it's interesting because I think that you can take some of the stereotypes, but you know, if you break it down to the analysis that we found in our research, we can kind of group this into three categories of best practices that they have. You know, first of all, digitally maturing organizations have digital at their core. So they really embrace the concept of being digital. Digital is not off to the side. It's not a separate initiative. It's really ingrained and built into their overall corporate initiative or their overall corporate strategy. And then the second thing is they actually create an environment that will enable digital to happen. And so this is really about having the right culture, the right talent, the right structures, and how they operate as teams and cross-functionally. It's about having teams that are empowered, pushing decision-making further down into the organization. And that's really all about creating the kind of environment that will really foster certain behaviors. Mm-hmm. And then finally, it's really about putting their money where their mouth is and committing to this, sticking with it, and having leadership that has a good vision to actually set everybody on the right course. And those kind of are the three major practices that we see that differentiate these organizations from others.
So in other words, it's not digital isn't something that they do. It's really more of who they are.
It's how they are. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Where do we stand today in terms of digital maturity? How many businesses are kind of meet that criteria?
So it's funny you should ask that question because for the past 4 years, we've been trying to measure this. And this is typically through a self-assessment of the organization. And we haven't seen the maturity curve move very much at all for the first 3 years. And then this year, this fourth year of this research, is the first time we've actually seen it move up. We're seeing organizations become more mature. And it's gone up from 25% to 30%, which is only a 5% increase, but that's actually pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. And this is self-reporting again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what are the benefits of maturity? I mean, do you have any data on how this kind of relates to business performance?
So the way we do our research, we actually don't track the business performance against this just because of the nature of the research that we do. But other organizations have tried to tackle this question and have tried to, you know, connect business performance to digital maturity. But I actually see this a little bit like the ubiquitous ROI question. You know, what's the return of investment that I'm going to get by investing in digital?
Right.
And my answer to that really is one of survival. So it's less about, you know, what are you going to get out of it, but what are you going to avoid? If you think about, you know, how the newspaper industry was, I think in the early 2000s, I mean, they were at the peak of their industry. And then suddenly technology comes in and completely changes the game on them and destroys it. So I think that this is about being prepared for disruption and about trying to actually disrupt before people disrupt you.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my next question, which I wanted to talk a little bit about the risks to those that don't take maturity. Because I know there are businesses out there, and I know some of them personally.
Yes.
Who will say, why should we change? We're doing great without it.
Yes, we hear that all the time. And this is interesting because we actually refer to this as, in academic literature anyway, it's called the competency trap. So it's this feeling that what got you here and what made you successful mm-hmm. will continue to keep you successful going forward. But what people don't realize is that the world has changed, you know, enormously. And that's a lot largely driven by these emerging technologies and these advancing technologies. So when you think about, well, everything's okay now, it could be okay now, it might not be okay tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And it would seem to me that there's kind of a significant recruitment and retention angle to all this as well. I mean, this is a huge issue in the accounting and finance world specifically, but I know in a number of other industries as well, finding and keeping the right people. Because if I had my choice of working for a really mature company and one that isn't, I think I know what my decision would be.
So, Bill, you would be with the majority of the folks that we talk to and that we survey. Most people we find want to work for digitally maturing organizations. And we're finding that digitally maturing organizations are having an easier time attracting and retaining them. And they're not doing this in, you know, the normal recruiting way. They're actually poaching people by going on to online platforms, you know, where your resume is effectively visible in social media platforms all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're poaching people from other organizations. And because they're digitally maturing organizations, they're going to attract them. And what we find is, you know, there's a lot of research in psychology that shows that people have a strong need for autonomy, growth, and meaning in their work. And digitally maturing organizations offer that typically. You know, they give people sort of freedom to make decisions. There's more trust involved in interactions. They have, most importantly, an opportunity to grow. And digitally maturing organizations recognize that not only do they need to fill that need for growth, but also that it benefits their organization as well. Because as you mentioned, there's a talent shortage. And most organizations we talk to, over 50% of them, even at digitally maturing organizations, will say that they need more and better and different talent. But the difference that sets apart digitally maturing organizations is that they are actively trying to develop that talent. And then secondly, they're trying to recruit it. Whereas other organizations are not trying to grow that talent from within.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, given all the benefits behind all of this, why do you think so many organizations can continue to struggle with this? What's holding them back?
It's interesting because I think that a lot of organizations see, when you talk about digital transformation, right, they think of technology first. And they assume that in order to take a first step, they need to buy that technology. And while they understand that that talent is actually a key part of this, I don't think that they understand the extent to which it's important, and the extent to which these soft things are important, like culture, like developing talent. I think it's easier to look at technology that's something very specific, something that you can buy, something that you can acquire very easily and measure. And say, well, that's the answer. Right. And technology is for sure a part of this, but you won't be able to take advantage of that technology if you don't have the right brains and the right people and skill set within your organization.
Interesting. So what would be some first steps toward becoming digitally mature? I mean, for organizations that aren't, but who would like to be, where can they start?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think it has to start with a vision. It has to start with an idea for who your company is and how you can bring value to your customer. And, you know, lots of digital strategies have to begin with the customer because it's about rethinking that customer experience, who that customer is today, what that customer is used to, how that customer's wants and needs could change in a digital age. If you think about all of the things that we have available to us today, technologically, that we didn't have 10 years ago. I mean, even with the advent of the smartphone, that's a huge shift in customer behavior and customer experience. And so there's a lot of opportunity to redefine and recreate new value for customers as well as a better experience for them. So if you start with that and then you go and think through, well, how can my organization bring this to these customers, then you begin to get a sense for a vision for how you might want to be and possibly some new business models that you can come up with.
Interesting. And once you start, I mean, what are some of the keys to succeeding once you start to go down this path?
I think the biggest one and the biggest challenge that people have is commitment and finding the right leaders to spearhead a lot of these initiatives and to really take the company forward. You know, commitment is, we hear a lot of organizations who give a lot of lip service to digital, but you know, they don't, when push comes to shove, they're thinking about their bottom line. They're thinking about their quarterly reports. They're thinking about just keeping the trains running. And it takes a lot of, I think, fortitude to really push forward through a lot of the challenges and through inevitably what they're going to see as failures.
Mm-hmm. It almost sounds to me like we're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, but almost like a completely different business model or business structure, if you will,
yeah,
that these organizations have that others don't. I mean, what does that look like inside a digitally mature organization?
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned something very interesting, and we're really starting to dig into this in our research, which is how digitally maturing organizations operate. So I think, you know, at the heart of it, you have a culture that surrounds everything. And it's a culture that enables people to make decisions, right? So first of all, we're seeing decision-making being pushed down further into the organization in order to enable agility. So if you think about it, the people who should be making the decisions are the people who are there at the front lines, who have access to most of the information, and who can probably better make that decision and wouldn't have to run it up the chain and then wait for a response to act on it. So I think that there is an agility factor that comes with pushing that decision-making down. But there's also kind of this concept of looking at their talent in a different way and enabling their talent and trusting their talent to make those right decisions. And in many ways, seeing leadership as being pervasive in the organization. So in a traditional organization, when you look at it, it's very hierarchical, right? Decisions have to be pushed up to the top, and then the person on the top is the one who sets the vision and drives everything forward. And I think in digitally maturing organizations, what you see is something slightly different, where the term leader isn't always applied to the person just at the top of that pyramid. And in fact, that pyramid looks a lot flatter. So there's less of an emphasis on hierarchical structures, and they become a little bit more networked and matrix. And in fact, the teams that are set up in digitally maturing organizations are typically cross-functional teams. They approach projects in a cross-functional way. So when you have, you know, finance in the same team as someone from marketing and the same team as someone from sales and operations, and you put them all together and they all understand the mission, it's easier for them to make decisions within that context and to do them pretty quickly, as opposed to, you know, well, now I'm going to go to finance and ask for money to do this. Mm-hmm. They've actually been part of the conversations and part of seeing this concept and this idea develop.
And you mentioned you're seeing a slight uptick in the number of organizations that are kind of self-reporting as being digitally mature this year. I guess my question is: Are we moving? Is that fast enough? Are we moving fast enough at this point?
I would say yes, and the reason why is because in our minds, there's no end goal. You don't just digitally transform and then you're done. We see this as a very, more like an evolution, an ongoing evolution. And so the reason why it's been stagnant, we feel, is not because organizations aren't making any progress. It's because the goalpost keeps moving. Yep. So you're talking about, you know, new standards every year, new... Yeah. It's been pushed out everywhere. So you've gone, you know, 1 mile, and then you realize that the end has been extended another mile as well. So
further to go, exactly.
And we don't really see an end in sight. We don't think this is going to stabilize anytime soon. I think, you know, a lot of technologies are continuing to evolve, and I think it's unclear to see where they're going to go. And because of that, you know, organizations need to prepare to act on, you know, developing technologies as well as, you know, unforeseen disruptions. And so really this is about arming your organization with that agility and ability to react, and with the talent and the skill sets and the people who are capable of getting you through this.
Mm-hmm. Well, fascinating stuff, An. Thanks so much for sharing it and for joining me today. And I hope that we can continue this conversation as time goes on, see where we are maybe next year.
Yes. Thanks so much for inviting me, Bill.
That was An Phillips, a researcher and author at Deloitte Center for Integrated Research, where she dedicates her time to understanding the impact of emerging digital technologies on an organization's leadership, talent, and culture. You may have seen her stuff in leading publications such as the Wall Street Journal, MIT Sloan Management Review, and Fortune. And if you're interested, you'll find the complete Deloitte MIT study that we talked about today at www.deloitte.com/insights. Just search for Coming of Age Digitally.